Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in East Leroy.
That would be a little weird. Another directional town.
Yeah.
Is there a West Leroy?
I'm not seeing it on the map here. Now let me zoom in a little bit.
We just need
There is.
There is a West.
There Leroy. Is a East and a West Leroy.
Oh yes.
The Twin Cities.
Is there a Leroy? Is there one right in the middle?
No, there is not. Well, let me be sure. No. There's East Leroy and West Leroy. That's it. Oh. All right. Wherever you are in our great state, east, west, south, north, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, if you're going to battle the elements, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. What I would do is cook a brisket, and that way you can just stand by the grill for 13 hours and stay warm. That's just my line of thinking on that. But if you want to make it quick, a steak on the grill, done, and call it a day and enjoy a great steak this weekend. Or if you want to go out to eat, if you want to really brave the elements and get out there in the environment, trip to one of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi is always a fantastic idea. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Oh, okay. This is from like... I was thrown off. I saw committed Mississippi State. Okay, they got somebody new. No, it's David Turner reposting something from December 21st.
I'm glad that you were able to see that.
Yeah, you can't see that. Yeah.
You can tell me.
Turner's doing the Cohen thing where he, you know, he's like, oh, I need to tweet something a week after it happened. In this case, he's tweeting it 14 days late. But okay, whatever. Yeah. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I know you're looking for it. It's a new year. You need new gear. The state script, the interlocking, the M over S, it's all right there for you at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet or Flowood by the Half Shell. You can always shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. So far, my New Year's resolution to eat there more often, I'm on a good start. There's been 1 week in the year I've eaten there once.
Yes.
So I'm going to go for 52.
One for one.
I'm going to see if I can make 52 happen. So I'll need to go there this week, and I will definitely make an attempt to do that. And you should, too. If you want to have a great meal in the city of Starkville, it's really easy to do. You just pull up to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need to get answers. You can do that with a bank like Priority One Bank. They don't put you on hold. They don't give you the runaround. They just take care of you and answer your questions the way you need to have happen. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Bobby, before we get into the actual rumblings, before we get into the show, we have promised our listeners and our viewers the first ever biscuit taste test here on Thunder and Lightning, because we had a question about KFC versus Popeyes, I forget the actual question, but it led into a debate, and I said I think KFC's biscuits are better, and I think you said you think Popeyes better, so let's try them. So we got them here. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. Let me show you this. I don't know what KFC did to my biscuit. It's flat.
Already off to a terrible start.
Not off to a good start, KFC. Here's the Popeyes biscuit. Robbie, if you want to put yours up to your camera there. Looks like a pretty normal Popeyes biscuit. Good undercarriage there. Got good crispiness on top. This is much softer, I can tell. This is more yellow. And that's probably from butter.
It's the butter.
All right, which one do we want to try first?
Let's do KFC.
I'll do KFC first. All right.
Okay.
soft, buttery.
That's one of the better biscuits I've had from KFC.
It's good. We do need to say something here. These are the best chicken available here in Starkville in terms of biscuits, right? Mm-hmm. The King fast food biscuit is Hardee's.
Yes.
That's the best biscuit you can get, but these for chicken.
And biscuits and gravy from Hardee's is one of the best
really good.
Breakfasts
really good.
You can find out there.
That's good. That's a good biscuit.
That was a good biscuit.
Even the appearance is not good for me. Yours looks fine. All right, let's try the Popeyes one.
All right, here we go.
Okay. You're right. The Popeyes one is superior. Now,
it's the butter.
It's something. I don't. Yeah. It also has a little crunch, which I like. Just a little bit of crunch. The KFC one is like pillow soft. It's really good.
But
like, if I was going to score these, KFC would be like a 7. Popeyes is pretty close to a 9. Like, this is almost, if you told me somebody's mom made this, grandma made it, I didn't know, I would buy that. So yeah, you win. Popeyes is the superior biscuit.
The KFC biscuit was better than I remember it being. It was very
KFC
good.
Biscuits are good.
Very good, but Popeyes is always my favorite.
Much better.
You have the butter.
Yeah.
It's a nice flaky biscuit.
It's a lot closer to homemade,
mm-hmm.
I think. So yeah.
Good.
Robbie wins this round. If you have any more ideas for blind taste tests or anything for us, we're happy to do them. We like to eat. So
yeah, darn. That would be tough to do.
I wish there was a Cane's in this town so bad so we could do a Cane's Zaxby's.
I promise you would be able to tell the difference between Zaxby's and Cane's if you put.
Well,
I'm
not even going to do it blind. I just want to do it, you know, just to show you. So.
Well, then you would know.
All right, so we'd have to get somebody to buy them for us and then bring them in here.
Yes.
We can make that happen, though. We'll figure it out. All right. Let's get into the show. In case you're wondering, we didn't just eat biscuits. We had some chicken too. So,
and by the way, the biscuit it just tells you, I think, probably why we both enjoyed Popeyes more.
Yeah, do you still have it?
I don't. I throw it away. It left this giant ring of grease,
of butter and grease.
You can see like this tiny little dot from the KFC biscuit, and then this puddle of the Popeyes biscuit on the napkin that I had. But yes, it was very enjoyable.
I, you know what? Don't ever say that I'm not willing to concede when I'm wrong.
No, I think you are.
All right.
I think you're fair.
I still think I'm very hard-headed, and I can
no,
be.
No, you're not.
I can be. But when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That the Popeyes biscuit was better.
So. Well, I mean, you are correct when you say you're willing to
take
change
new information.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got new information. You compared them side by side. There we go. Okay. Popeyes has the best
biscuit.
I need
you to remind me when we get done here today. I have some information, some new information for us that you're not going to like. I'll just go ahead and tell you. You're not going to like it. I'm not going to tell you on the show.
Is it? I mean,
it's just
how upsetting is this going to be for me?
It'll be above a 5 out of 10.
Oh boy! Can I at least get like a clue? Just so I can prepare myself mentally.
We may have to change something we've been saying for a long time.
Okay.
All right. I'll just leave it at that.
It's not something that's going to like.
It's not actually going to affect you.
Okay.
But it's going to make you upset.
Okay.
By doing it, by telling you here now, I'll remember to tell you at the end. Because I wanted to tell you before we started, and I forgot.
Okay.
And I meant to tell you yesterday, and I forgot.
Well, it must not be that serious.
Well, it's not serious isn't the right word. You'll find out. All right. But now you'll be remembering it. There's two of us working together now.
So. Okay.
All right. It's time for the Rumblings, brought to you by our friends over at Paul Davis Restoration. They may be busy very soon. Because we're going to have some winter weather blowing through here over the next few days. And if you have storm damage, if you have ice damage, or if something goes wrong, you need Paul Davis Restoration there to help you out. That's a name you can trust. We talked about it last week with the storms we had out at the Highlands. They're the ones doing that work. That's the kind of trust they've built up here in this community, in the Golden Triangle and in Tupelo. You can call Paul Davis Restoration Golden Triangle. If you are in Tupelo, they'll be happy to come and help you out. Remember, it's not just about restoration. It's about property improvement. They're going to leave your space better than ever. Give them a call today if you have any kind of damage around your home, and they can take care of it. 662-769-7285. Let Paul Davis Restoration bring your property back to life. All right. I haven't got everything set up here for the rumbling. So we got a moment here. Let's make sure that my mentions are where we want them to be. I don't know. I don't know about that. Oh, that's not good. Okay. Every other week, Twitter, and I will never call it the other thing. I'm not much longer for this app, by the way. Blue Sky is calling my name. Here we go. All right. So yeah, it just messes up and it won't show me all of my mentions. And I don't know why. All right, here we go. Tanner Pounders. First question. Happy rumblings. How did you feel about the WWE on Netflix Monday Night Raw? Have not watched consistently since 2019, so it was good to get back in it. I want to point out that Tanner sent us this this tweet at 2:21 p.m. yesterday. Raw had not occurred. Is he a time traveler?
Well, maybe he's just getting ahead of it.
He was ahead. He knew that we were. So I had not watched a full Raw in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that with them making the debut in that arena on Netflix, I was like, this is going to be a big card. They're going to have a lot of cool stuff. And it delivered. Nobody better. I think the overall wrestling is better at AEW. But in terms of production and in terms of the product itself and making you go, wow, nobody better than WWE.
And
the opening was incredible.
Stories.
Yeah.
They're the best.
They did better.
What they do is they say we're gonna make this a big deal.
Yeah.
That's what they do with this stuff.
Right.
They've been hyping this up for months at this point. I remember when they first struck this deal and immediately they start talking about Pat McAfee's gonna be back for that. He's gonna be calling that with Michael Cole. We're gonna have this and this. Several weeks ago they started talking about Seth Rollins, CM Punk, The Rock was gonna be back. And then you show up at the arena, you see inside the arena, they got the armbands where they're all lit up in the crowd, the giant tarp or whatever around the ring playing that promo. The promo was so well done.
Really good.
And it drops, pyro goes off, there's Triple H standing right there. It was awesome. And then right after that, The Rock comes out.
Yeah. The only thing I thought was missing from last night was Austin.
Well, he was supposed to be there.
Was he?
Something happened. I don't know what the reasoning was, but they scratched it.
They will have him on soon.
Yeah, he was supposed to be there, but Cena came back. Another thing they're really good at, they get stars to come to this stuff.
How much did you freak out when you saw Topanga?
I was really excited.
I was like, oh my God, I bet Robbie just screamed out loud in his house.
I think your wife also listens to the podcast.
I paused the show. I was like, Jennifer, and she came in there, and I thought she would be like, oh, and she was just like, oh,
yeah. So,
as always, when I try to do something that I think she'll like, she hated it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I'm thinking the same way that she is. We listen to Topanga and Will Friedle and all them.
Yeah,
we listen to them every week.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like people that listen to our show. They feel like they know us a little bit. I feel like I know Topanga a little bit. Daniel Fishel.
You'd like to know
if she ever saw me, she would walk right past me. But
yeah,
like it's not as like I'm not as starstruck when I see her on TV or something. And I went to see their live event.
I would have paid $1,000 of my own money for somebody to punch Bill Simmons in the head. Celtics logo.
And they kept like every wrestler that came and sat right by him.
Yeah.
Like every time they showed the people behind the table, I would give
credit though, when Nikki Bella was doing that dance and he was locked in, he was not looking at her, he was perfect.
I think he did sneak a peek.
If he did, it was very subtle. So.
He didn't have John Cena to worry about anymore on that.
I want to tell you one thing before, and we got a bunch of wrestling questions today for some reason, but you just have to live with it, guys. I wasn't a big Cena guy back in the day. That's part of the reason I got away from wrestling. I'm all in on this final year, though.
Yeah,
I think it will be special. Like, very rarely do you get the wrestler. Like, sometimes they'll have like Flair when he went out. That run he had at the end of WWE was incredible.
Where it was like, if you lose a match.
And he just kept winning, and the stakes kept getting. And then he had to face Shawn Michaels, and we all know what happened. Like, I think by the time we get to the end of the year, Cena will have a match for the world title with maybe Cody Rhodes or Gunther, and it's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
He won't win, but he's going to make you think he could.
I think he's either going to fight at Mania or SummerSlam.
He'll probably do both. he's going to do the whole year, he said.
I just mean for a championship.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of the two. Probably SummerSlam makes more sense because you can build it.
I'm interested in what they're going to do at the Royal Rumble. I don't know
don't know
what
who's
their
going to win.
plan is, but
I think
for the people out there, like, oh my gosh, like, why? You really should give it a shot one day.
You
really should watch it.
It's a good television show, guys.
If you're sitting around and doing nothing, Triple H had a press conference last night.
Yeah,
and he,
which cracks me up.
He came out
TV show.
He came out and said, "We're not. We talked about in the promo heels, baby face.
Yeah,
work shoot.
Yeah,
in that promo they did, they talked about that." And somebody asked him about that, like, why'd you do that? And he said, we're not insulting anyone's intelligence here. We know what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling people what we are. It's entertainment. And this is, you know, what it is. If you're at this stage in the game, if you really think it's real, then I don't know what to tell you. We've known it's not real
that guy
for a long time. Yeah. So they have perfected the art of this.
Yeah.
And if you're into drama, and if you're into, you know, the athletic portion of it as well,
mm-hmm.
you really should watch it. It's entertaining as crap. And if you ever go to an event,
mm-hmm.
Even if you're not a fan of it, you will get locked into it. It will draw you in.
Yeah.
I think we've turned a lot of people that listen to this podcast.
I hope so. Speaking of wrestling, Tyler Hamm asks us, why were Ernest the Big Cat Miller? I'm sorry, the Cat Miller. He wasn't the Big Cat. And Disco Inferno, so underappreciated. Both always entertain on a high level. Yeah, Disco Inferno, no. I liked Ernest Miller, and when he first came out, he was really boring. But when he grew into that character.
He got into the James Brown.
That was fantastic.
Character.
That was good.
Disco was entertaining.
I'm on the Cody Rhodes train with Disco Inferno. Never drew a dollar.
I think that he was really good at selling.
He was a good mid card. You know, he was TV champion.
He was a good worker.
He was a good worker.
And I thought, like, some of his stuff I thought was funny.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he had some moments, but that's about it. All right.
He's definitely got some opinions. I listen to his and Conan's podcast. It's pretty funny. They talk about Brandon Walker on there sometimes.
I can believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. They were going to get him on for their college football preview.
They should have done it. He would have loved that.
I think they did, like, Conrad or something instead.
Old Turkey. No, never mind. you all right there? All right. The ghost of Larry Templeton asks us, now that I'm responsible for the first ever TNL taste-off, can we expect more in the future? If we get questions...
It came from Steve. Steve was the guy that did it.
Steve Mormon was the guy that did it. So, yeah, if we come up with some... Y'all come up with some more ideas. We just did the one. Well, I mean, I'm happy. But it's got to be restaurants here in Starkville. So,
well, you do something that you don't normally like.
Like what? Give me an example.
Like pickle.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's a taste-off. So it's like, what pickle tastes better? Or is that what we're doing? No. I wouldn't do that. No,
I'm just throwing out a hypothetical.
It's got to be like
I'm just throwing out a hypothetical. Like, so, like it can't. Like, is it going to be enjoyable for you every time?
No, I don't want to do nasty food.
Okay,
I don't want to do that.
I don't know. I don't think I want to either.
Yeah,
I think I would rather it be like
do, like super spicy either. I don't want to be like, hey, what's the hot? I don't.
That's
do that.
That's why when you asked if I wanted spicy or mild, like I just didn't want spicy. I got acid reflux. So I don't really want to deal with that today.
Yeah, I hear you. So, but we may have some more. Yeah.
So I'm clearing my throat right now.
I have three sons. Y'all have three daughters between you. How important is it that no matter how bad it is, we wear whatever your children get you as a Christmas present? And would you wear it if it was Banner M or a Maroon Is All That Matters shirt? Funny story.
It happened to you this year.
It happened to me this year. So, and it happened when I had COVID. So I was not really able to control my disappointment. Like, I was just too sick. But for my birthday, my wife and kids brought me a bag. They had gone to this place in Tupelo. And they got me three Mississippi State shirts, all of them Banner M. And I'll be honest with you, two of them were not, I wouldn't have worn with, I don't know if it had state script. Like one had like, it had like Bully the mascot on. It was just a terrible shirt. And I just looked at it and she looked at me and she was like, you don't like them. And I was like, Jennifer, you can tell you don't listen to my podcast because I have been fighting a battle against this stupid logo.
And she's been listening to Pod Meets World.
She listens to other pod. Oh, if we talked about small town murders on this podcast, she'd be listening every day.
Maybe me and Jennifer need a podcast that we talk about other podcasts.
You feel y'all do it, but anyway. So the answer to your question is, like, I'll give you another one because I know she's not listening. My daughter Aislinn got me like this hot sauce collection thing.
Yeah,
but it's like
I saw it.
It's cheap. They're cheap hot sauce. They're not very good. So like. No, nobody tell my kids this. She's not listening. But like, I just every now and then just go in there and shake a little in the sink, just because I'm just trying to get rid of them. They're not good. They're not. They taste like don't. They don't have any taste whatsoever.
Somebody, some company just made that because they know that people are going to buy those for gifts and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. And it's fine. Yeah, I appreciate the thought.
It's like the hottest of the hot stuff.
Well, no, it's they're like normal hot sauces, like this habanero and jalapeno.
Oh,
but they don't have any flavor whatsoever. So,
well,
yeah, like tonight we're making tacos. So I'll just be like, oh yeah, you know,
and you'll put your hot sauce.
I'll put my hot sauce on it. Yellow Bird habanero is my my hot sauce of choice right now.
Okay,
there you go.
You know, my daughter has yet to. I think she actually picked out a shirt for me this year. I think Becky gave her some choices. She picked it out, so I don't know if that counts or not. But I haven't really got.
She's not
that
old enough to get out there and do the shop.
But my daughter, I feel like, is going to have really good fashion sense. She will like go dress herself sometimes, and it's not always. It doesn't always match, or it's not always the right thing. But sometimes she'll come out like, I'm like, you need to go change. If you're going to go outside, you need to go change into something else. I don't need you to get in that. And she'll come out in something like really nice. I'm like, no. That's the opposite direction of where I need you to go.
Yeah.
God forbid I have another daughter here in a few months.
You're gonna be in trouble. I know how that goes.
I know it's going to happen. Yeah. I know it's going to be a girl.
Brick Thomas wants our Super Bowl prediction. Steelers and... No, I'm not gonna. Definitely Chiefs.
You think so?
Yeah, they just didn't.
Just because they're lucky.
Yeah. In the NFC,
you don't think the Ravens have a shot?
Oh, they have a shot. The Bills have a shot too.
But it's probably going to be like what happened last year.
Yeah. In the NFC,
the NFC is going to be
it's wild.
Juicy.
I was thinking about something the
other day. Man, the Lions and the Vikings. Both came in with 14 wins the other day.
Yeah.
One of them is a wild card. Yeah. The other one's number one seed.
One of them overall seed.
I mean, that was
crazy. I was thinking
about
the other day. Like, if I say list the best quarterbacks in the NFL, right, they're all AFC guys. Who's the best quarterback in the NFC?
Well, I mean, Sam Darnold was great this year.
But that's one
Jared
time.
Goff.
Goff has been, Goff might be the answer.
Love Goff is probably it.
Love, no. Uh-uh. Dak, no. Stafford, no.
Dak's up there when he's healthy.
He's Hurts, no. But over in the AFC, you have Lamar, Mahomes, Allen, and then Burrow's not even in the damn playoffs.
Yeah, Burrow was really good this year. I mean, Burrow and Chase put up ridiculous numbers this year, and they're not even going to be in the playoffs. That just kind of speaks to the rest of their roster.
Yeah.
So we scored...
I'm gonna go
17 points against them.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go chalk here. Ravens line. Oh, not Ravens. Chiefs Lions.
Okay. I think the Lions are still gonna do something to screw up. I love Dan Campbell. I want that team to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like something's gonna happen.
Yeah, that tends to happen. Yeah. All right. Also, have you heard LeAngelo Ball's new song? If not, look it up. It's good.
No.
As you might can guess, I have not heard it. So we'll see.
I do not want to listen to LeAngelo Ball's song.
Yeah.
Or any song by any of that family.
No, correct. Correct.
Are they still hanging around relevant? And
I mean, LeAngelo Ball is a really good player. And Lonzo is still in the league. The other one never made it. So anyway, Dalton Lee, no question this week. Just wanted to shout out our good friend Alden Thornhill and his act of kindness for the rumbling, starting off 2025 with great karma and vibes, dogs by 90. Alden says, special needs bagger at Kroger was talking to me about state basketball yesterday. I asked if he was going to the Kentucky game, and he got kind of sad, and he said he didn't think he'd be able to get a ticket. So I called up my contact in the athletic department and told her about him. They're giving him two tickets. So we're 100% going to kick Kentucky's ass based on the good vibes alone. Great story. Every town needs an Alden Thornhill.
Thank you for your service, Alden.
He's a good man. He's about to have a baby.
You can probably find him at...
Not about to, Lou.
You can find him at Two Brothers at 5
p.m. So you can find him
supporting
our local businesses, yeah.
Yes. 5 p.m. on... when's that game? Thursday?
Saturday.
No, Saturday.
Thursday is a women's game.
That's right.
I spoke with Comrade Cody today. He's looking forward to seeing us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that he's at Oklahoma.
Yeah, I wonder if Leah's coming.
I'm excited to see Derek.
So,
I wish he was still here, man. He put out some great content.
He did. Josh Is the recruiting of three Northern Illinois players a strategic plan of Lebby's to make sure State doesn't lose to a G5 team in 2025? We should definitely have the game plan. We should have their signals. Yeah, I think this is great. We should have done with Toledo.
Genius game plan.
All right. One of the worst questions we've ever gotten here on the Rumblings coming up. Rank these most horrific ways of dying.
Oh,
drowning, burning, electrocution, choking. All three, all four of these, you know you're dying. Maybe not electrocution.
Burning.
Burning's the worst one. Electrocution is probably the quickest.
Electrocution, like if it's bad enough, it's going to stop your heart, right?
Yeah, you'll go pretty quick.
Drowning is actually, you're not really, I don't know if you would say you're like suffering. You know you're going to die, but it's like, you're just kind of like, oh, and then boom.
Yeah, and then you get
everything. And then
choking would be, choking would be worse because that's on you. Like you should have chewed better.
Well, what if you're getting choked?
Oh, well, you're actually being choked to death. That's murder. That's different.
Well, isn't it the same? Like,
you choke on food. He's talking about like choking to death on food, like our friend Peter Burns nearly did.
Yeah.
That would be really bad. Burning is easy because there's a ton of pain. You know you're dying. And here's the worst part. You know, like, if you're burning, you know that even if you live, your life is over. You're going to be a scarred up.
I'd rather
just go at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Burning is the absolute worst.
Burning, choking, drowning, electrocution. Those are our ranks.
Yeah.
That was awful. Don't ever ask questions like that again. I don't know. What happened? We just had good vibes. And now they're gone. Thanks, Josh.
That's why I don't want to get too dark in here, but like the people that they will like film themselves like catching themselves on fire and stuff. Like, what are you doing?
The worst.
And it's like, what? Like, okay, what point did you just prove doing that? You're dead.
Yeah, you're just stupid.
I don't understand it.
Caleb Goddard asks us, every time I hear see pork rind nachos, I read it in Robbie's heavy metal voice. Give it to us there.
Pork rind nachos?
Is there a word or phrase that you always hear or say in a certain voice? There is. I like to say, again, like Chris Jericho. Yeah. I say, yes. Try to say, yes as much as I can. Like Dustin
Rhodes. To say, idiot.
That's good.
Idiot.
Yeah,
that used to be my thing. Like in junior high, my dad was like, "Will you stop?
You're the idiot."
I was just like, "Idiot, idiot." And it was like, "Please stop." I think back at those times. I'm like, "My gosh, I was just an annoying preteen teenager."
You weren't alone.
And now I've completely calmed down. I'm still annoying. I'm
trying to think if there's anything else that I say a certain way. Nothing else coming to mind. So, Colton Watson, our thoughts on transfer cornerback Dwight Lewis III. My thoughts are this is not a guy from the Group of Five, not from FCS, not from Division II, Division III. This is a non-NCAA football player coming in to play in the SEC. You better be right about that evaluation because that's a massive jump. I mean, he was covering guys who will not play football at all past where they are right now.
It's just, and it's nothing against him. And I know a lot of people are high on him in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's like borderline four-star or whatever. But it's just, you can't afford to take these kind of chances when you don't have anything else lined up. If they were able to go out there and get Stephen Hall and some of these other corners that mm-hmm. were mentioned earlier in the process, and then this guy,
the third guy, yeah,
and the William and Mary guy they're recruiting too, those are like the second or like third or fourth players, then I'm all for it. But you're kind of banking on this player to come in and help you in the SEC, and the numbers don't suggest that you know it's a bona fide get. I actually like this guy. I think he has good measurables and some of the things that we're hearing from people that have covered him, that they sound good, but it's just the fact that there's nobody else. That's the problem with the whole deal. There's nobody else that you feel good about. That's why everybody's kind of upset about Corey Bell right now, because you just don't feel like you've upgraded that room, and you lost the one guy that you felt really good about mm-hmm. in that room in Bryce Pollock. So, I don't know. I mean, right now, if anything, it's doubt.
Yeah.
No, no but, I think there's certainly some things to like about Dwight Lewis, but we just don't know yet until he gets in the SEC, and you can kind of see him go up against some really good receivers in this league.
All right. How many years until we were saying State needs to find a new Cam Matthews instead of State needs to find a new Brandon Vincent? What other players on this roster will State fans say they always need the next version of once they are gone? I don't know.
I mean, I said this last week, I think it
was.
Yeah,
we talked about it, yeah.
But, yeah, that's probably going to be the new – he's going to be the new Brandon Vincent. Yeah, like, exactly. It's just going to be –
You need a guy who can do the dirty work.
Yeah.
That if you have one of those, you're doing good.
I don't know how often you're going to find a Cam Matthews, the type of athlete, the type of – I mean, he's built like a Mack truck out there and can handle the basketball, can pass, can rebound, can defend. There's just not many guys like that. I mean, there's certainly some holes in his game. He's never going to be a exceptional shooter outside of the paint, whatever. But you would love to have a guy like that every single year. As far as the next version, who else is on the roster, I don't think there's anybody. Like, we love Josh Hubbard, but I think you can find guys that can fill it up. Like that, you know. Like I don't know if you'll be looking for the next Josh Hubbard. I think you can transition to still being a good 3-point shooting team or something. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll have enough guys that can shoot it.
Yeah.
But as far as finding another Cam Matthews, I don't know if you'll ever be able to do that.
Yeah. Last one from Colton here. Chris Jans should be the blank highest paid coach in college basketball next season. Well, just looking at it right now, I can't find anything more up to date. I think he's in the top 15 right now. Right?
I would put him in the top 10, I think.
This article is from November 4th of this past year. And it goes top 10. Nate Oates is making 4.5. Jans makes 4.2. So he's probably in the top 15, right? And I agree with what you're saying in principle, but we gotta win a tournament game.
I've heard that argument. I understand that, but to me, you'll win tournament games if you're consistently in those positions.
You should.
I don't think that should be the determining factor.
I would just say that the size of his raise would be determined. Like if they just go to the tournament and they lose round one. Then maybe bump him from 4.2 to like 4.6, right?
4.6. Oh yeah, I think that's manageable.
If you get to the Sweet 16, you can give him a mil. You can go 5.2.
I look at what he's doing here, and I feel like they're going to win NCAA tournament games. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like baseball to me. If you're consistently in super regionals and you're hosting regionals and you're national seeds, then what you do in the College World Series is just kind of a crapshoot at that point.
Right.
It's very difficult to win a national championship in baseball. It's mm-hmm. It's about getting hot, lucky, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're constantly in the super regional round, in a national seed, you are among the best programs in the country. If Mississippi State is constantly in the top five seeds, if he gets to this year, he's like a 3 or 4 seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, State's got a good thing going.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to do what it takes to a certain extent
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they continue that good thing.
Yeah.
I think you got to make sure that you have shown Chris Jans you have a commitment to him. I'm kind of past the, like, I was there last year. I was there with you last year when we were talking about, you know, his demands, and he was, you know, talking, or at least it was allegedly he was going to interview with Arkansas or whatever. You know, we had the Wichita State stuff before that. Mm-hmm. I was kind of at the point where, like, he hasn't done enough yet to make him, you know, one of the highest paid coaches in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's gotten fan support. He's got NIL. He should not be upset about anything. If he's able to get Mississippi State a 3 or 4 seed or something like that this year, I think you need to put in place what you can
mm-hmm.
to continue to have him on board, because it just feels like he's building something really special here that we haven't seen very often at Mississippi State.
It does feel like that, but we've got to have a little bit of results, though.
You're getting results.
You are.
You're about to have 3 straight years of NCAA tournament bursts, and on top of that, you've gotten better and better every year.
I'm definitely not saying
NCAA tournament is about matchups. It's about getting hot and about some luck too.
You just gotta.
I don't think that's the end all be all. I don't think that's going to be what decides it for me.
What I would say is that it just decides how much. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't give $1 million raise if you don't.
No,
go further in the tournament.
He can go to $5 million if he's one and done.
Right, but if you go to Sweet 16, I can get behind $5 million.
No yeah, question. I think that State. This is a point in time where State's really struggling to have something that they can hang your hat on right now.
Oh yeah,
even baseball.
Yeah, I agree.
So with basketball, I would go all in on it right now. You just picked up a top 15, top 10 recruiting class. I don't know where it stands, but best signing class that he's had. He appears to really be willing to change when he needs to change. I just think the State's got a special coach. And if he's willing to leave, it's going to be based on his terms. It's not going to be based on what Mississippi State has done or hasn't done. I think State needs to be able to do whatever they can do to keep him.
All right. Willie Dizzle asks, how can anyone in an A-list actor's life know if they are telling the truth? That's a good point. If you're married,
because they're so good at acting.
They're so good at acting, yeah.
Plus, I'm sure a lot of them lie religiously.
Yeah, it's part of the gig, probably.
Yeah.
That's a good question, Willie. But I don't know the answer. Our friend Brian McDuff with a question right up your alley here. Why do chicken tender restaurants only serve crinkle fries? Now, I looked.
Not all of them.
Slim Chickens serves regular fries.
They do.
Serves crinkles.
Yep.
Cane's, I know, serves crinkles. What's another? There's a...
Chick-fil-A is a chicken tender restaurant.
Fusackerly's, is that what it's called?
Fusackerly's.
Fusackerly's.
Yes. I haven't been there very
often. I want to see what they got. Crinkle cuts.
It's just a staple. Chicken tenders and crinkle cut fries. I think that's just the thing. Some of these other places, they have burgers. They have stuff like that.
And you just want regular fries with that.
But, I mean, like I said, Chick-fil-A is a chicken tender restaurant, isn't it?
It's a chicken restaurant. Like, they're chicken sandwiches. But yeah, they have tenders, but sandwiches are more what you go there for. They have waffle fries.
I don't go to Chick-fil-A for sandwiches.
You don't?
No, I go there for chicken.
Well, I mean, I go for a chicken sandwich is what I'm saying.
I don't get chicken tenders. I get chicken nuggets sometimes. Uh-huh. I do get sandwiches sometimes, but I would say Chick-fil-A is a chicken tender or chicken nugget restaurant.
I think I would say they're a restaurant that sells chicken tenders.
I guarantee you that their highest grossing item is chicken tenders. Nugget.
All right, so Popeyes and KFC, they sell tenders.
No, but they're more bone in. Okay. They don't do the bone in at Chick-fil-A.
Okay. Okay. You're right.
They're chicken.
You're not wrong.
They're boneless.
All right. Also from McDuff, which of the following do we need less of an explanation of because we get it? The overtime rules in college football or what happened to Bruce Wayne's parents? I will say they did just change the overtime rules like 6 years ago. So we've got another 20 years. But it was a point there where they started doing overtime in 1995, I think, or 1996. And in the year 2017, they were still explaining it like we had never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Like, I know the overtime rules.
Yeah, it was kind of like when Howard Finkel would get up there and start talking about the Royal Rumble.
The first man to be thrown. Yeah, yeah.
And Jerry Lawler would be like, just shut up.
All right. What we got here? Yeah, got a little while here. Oh, here we go. Brogan Fairchild, what is your favorite Jerry Clower story or bit?
I love the one where he talks about playing Alabama, and you can find that.
Oh, good, it's on YouTube.
You can find that on YouTube, and he talks
just
about.
Just wait right here; he'll be back in a minute.
He talks about going up against Alabama's defense.
Yeah,
and just the.
He slithered.
I mean that one's classic. Uh-huh. But just get you a Jerry Clower. I don't know. I used to have the greatest hits CDs. I don't know if I guess you could get it off. You could probably go on Spotify or something and get his greatest hits something like that.
Yeah.
Get that. If you're going down the road, me and my dad used to do that. We would just put the CD in and just listen to it until it burned up.
Yeah. There's a great, I don't know if it's still on YouTube or not. It was him on the Jerry Reed show. So he comes out and he tells a joke about how much he loves music because he took music appreciation in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making fun of Jerry the whole time. And then Jerry sings the Alabama Wild Man song. And Jerry Reed sings the Alabama Wild Man song. And Jerry Clower plays the role of his dad in the song. And it's just good old timey entertainment. And
Clower's
wearing like this banana yellow suit.
Oh yeah,
it's incredible.
I've got a picture in my phone of my grandmother with Jerry Clower.
Oh.
In like the 1970s.
Yeah,
she was playing piano at something he was doing, I think.
Yeah,
and I still got that picture.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Also, his joke about playing marbles and had the hot steel balls. That's my favorite Jerry Clower joke.
He was a legend.
That's the good stuff. Wade Jones, I'm going to start a new weekly question if the opportunity presents itself. I'm going to ask, what happened to most of the time state athletes? I need a timeline from the time they left the state until the present day. What happened to Michael Carr? Hold on, somebody answered this. Oh, okay, it's Wade. I was like,
I don't know where Michael Carr is.
Yeah, this may go badly for you, Wade. I don't know where these people are.
Some of them I do. Let's see if we can find
them. Can we do a quick Google search?
I mean, there was an actor in the 1940s.
Okay, hold on. He went to Delta State.
That's right. I do remember him going to Delta State.
Okay, so he went to Delta State. Didn't do very much there. And then that can't be him. I mean, that's the last. Everything is football related to that point. He was in the class of 2010. He was playing at Delta State in what year was this? 2017. So he played 9 games in 2010, played 8 games in 2011, then basically took a 3-year sabbatical from football. Came to Delta State in 2015, redshirted, played in 9 games in 2016, and 9 games as a senior in 2017.
There we go.
And that appeared. Let me see if I can't.
I don't know where he is right now, Wade. But hopefully he's doing well.
Yeah,
I liked Michael Carr a lot. He was fun to watch.
Him super talented player.
Justin Cox was on that team at West Point back then. That was kind of the start of all that.
There's an article written by Logan Lowry.
I skimmed through that. There was nothing in there about where he is now. I think Logan was just talking about him at West Point.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Yeah, he was fun to watch in high school for sure.
Yeah. I will do two more and then we'll get to the break here. Ford Polk, I agree 100% that the college football playoff game should be hosted by the school all the way to the championship game. Could we not just have the Sugar Cotton Peach at the school that's hosting? What other obstacles were there? So we had this guy who got into a big argument with us on Sports Talk the other day about it. He's saying because these companies use these bowl games as like corporate trips, like they would not want to do it. Like Allstate, when they have the Sugar Bowl, they send all of their people to New Orleans for the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't want to come to Starkville.
It's absolutely corporate thing, yeah. Which sucks.
But that
best thing, I think the best thing for college football is hosting them.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. When you look at every other, football, like avenue, what they do is they play them at home stadiums until the championship.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this not the same?
I mean,
I know why it is, but I don't understand why we can't do that too.
Are there any G5 stadiums you'd like to visit? I vote for Army and App State. Those are both outstanding choices. I would like to go to Tulane, go to Yulman Stadium, very historic stadium. Trying to think my way around G5. I mean, does that count as like Corvallis and Pullman now? I wouldn't mind going to a game at the Palouse.
I think it boils down to the place, like the city.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't mind going to FAU, go to Boca Raton.
Yeah, I think like that. I think the game would be secondary for me.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Charlotte's a nice place.
The home of the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah.
For last week's rumblings, a discussion of biscuits, you absolutely need to go to Sturgis, Mississippi, to the Chevron, and get one of their sausage biscuits. It's the best biscuit I've ever eaten in my life. Hot sausage and biscuit coming off of a cold deer stand. Chef's kiss. This is something he said here I want to talk about. Do you say sausage biscuit or sausage and biscuit?
Sausage biscuit.
Sausage. So no and. No, I'm with you on that. But a lot of people do that. They do say sausage and biscuit.
It's been.
And it's just sausage. Nobody says bacon and biscuit. One.
You're eating it at the same time.
Nobody ever says bacon and biscuit. It's just bacon.
Bacon biscuit. Yeah.
But people do say sausage and biscuit.
Now, I will say sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Yeah. That's different because you got three things.
Yeah. Or like bacon and cheese or sausage and cheese biscuit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's become one. The sausage and the biscuit are now one.
It's a sausage biscuit.
Correct.
There you go. Now you know what somebody really needs to make? An actual sausage biscuit. Some biscuit made out of sausage.
Okay. Like the bun is
the bun sausage. Is meat. Yeah. And then in between you got bacon.
What you would do is you would have two link sausages and two patties. The patties over the link sausages.
Oh my God. Yes, that sounds delicious, Robbie.
We'll just slice up some country poison.
Yeah.
And then we'll have two sausage links of Jim Dean. Yes.
Oh.
Or I'd go one better. I would go to Sansing Meat Packaging in Mabin.
Okay.
And I would get their sausage,
okay,
which is the real deal sausage. It's not processed meat or whatever. This is
real deal.
They make it. And I would put that on top of some country poison.
So we're talking about a real sausage sandwich.
Real sausage.
Every ingredient is sausage.
A sausage biscuit without the biscuit. The biscuit is the sausage. Patties. Yep.
I'm in. Whew. That's exciting to think about. I'll be totally honest.
Does that count as carnivore diet?
No, absolutely it does. That's keto friendly.
Yeah, you don't have the biscuit.
No, you're good. You're good. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Pitt Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. In the new year, customers into your business, the way to get them there is through your printing. That's what gets the message out. That's what lets people know what's going on with your business, what the story that you want to tell. Let Pitt Printing and Signs help you tell it. They've been doing that for 30 years, helping businesses just like yours. You could be their next success story. Give them a call today. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. Tell them you heard about it here on Thunder and Lightning, and that you want to be a part of the success stories that have come out of Pitt Printing and Signs. Again, that's Cam Baker's, that's his personal number. You're not talking to a secretary, you're not talking to a switchboard, an assistant, anything. You're talking to the man himself, the guy who runs the company. That's the level of service we're talking about here. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I know you're looking for it. The easiest way to find it is to just go to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Go grab yourself some fantastic food there or just across the street at the Older Brother, Starkville's best new restaurant, the home of the fancy sandwich. That's right. Sandwiches like you cannot get anywhere else. It's maybe the most unique restaurant in the city of Starkville. If you haven't been there lately, you need to go now. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother, two of the best places to go in the city of Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
50. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service on anything, I think you touched my camera there.
I did not touch it.
Something happened.
I used my left hand.
Something happened. That was before that.
I didn't touch it. I ain't touched nothing.
Okay. I didn't do nothing.
I ain't touched nothing.
When you need service on something that Advantage Business Systems sold you, it's a phone call away. It's not a 1-800 number phone call. It's not a I'm going to be on hold with these people for the next 2 hours phone call. It's not a at the end of this phone call, they're going to tell me they can't get here for another week phone call. It's going to be a quick phone call. You're going to talk to the man who made the sale with you, and they're going to be able to fix your problem pretty quickly, usually same day, because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to any games, before you go to the hump this weekend, you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. Grab some new gear. Grab some warm weather gear. You're probably going to need it. Hoodies, pullovers, sweatshirts, jackets. It's all right there at Maroon & Co. Check it out. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You can save 15% off any purchase regular price. Some exclusions do apply. It's available online or in store. Before you go to the hump this Saturday, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. All right, back at it here with Jay in Baltimore. This Thursday will begin what could be the greatest ever 5-day stretch of games for the sport of football. Do Do you like that the college semis are on Thursday, Friday, or would you prefer to see them on the weekend? Friday night, Saturday at noon is one option. I know that they don't want to go head-to-head with the NFL playoffs. I understand that. So this is probably the best-case scenario for them. But
And for somebody that enjoys both, mm-hmm. I know you're kind of loosely paying attention.
If the games were on both day, if Saturday was college and pro, I would only watch college.
Yeah. And you know, this probably doesn't affect you as much on the weekend, but like, right. I love it. I get to watch football for several days in a row, whether it be college or NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. I think it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fantastic.
If they can just figure out the playoff format a little better, people are freaking out so much on how the playoffs set up, who's selected. They're going to adjust. It's going to take a little time to figure it out. The good news is we have good bones here. Mm-hmm. We have a good structure. We kind of know what we need to fix, all that stuff. So we're in a good spot. It's unquestionably more awesome that we have the games that matter this much mm-hmm. at this point of the year and more of them mm-hmm. Than what we have in years past. When used to, we would only have three football games that truly mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying bowl games. I'm not one of the people that bowl games don't matter, whatever. But mm-hmm. as far as competing for a national championship, we have several games that take place over several weeks. I think that's great.
Our friend Rob Hadaway with a couple questions. If you were the head coach in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, would you tank your team to avoid being the recipient of the Mayo Bath? I would absolutely. You could bet against my team in that game.
PJ Fleck the other day was...
He was like, thrilled.
And I kept waiting for him to like take off his quarter zip and his tie, uh-huh. at least. But no, he
stoked was he when he found out it was Flav of Flav, too, by the way.
Yeah, he was so pumped.
He was so happy. That was a moment where I was just like, that's cool. He enjoyed that.
I think it's been really cool to like see how happy the coaches have been after that. But like, if you win a big bowl game like that, I think you're just willing to get dunked with mayo at that point.
Yeah, I agree.
They must put like water in it.
They loosen it up or something. Yeah,
yeah. It looked gross.
Yeah. Also from Rob, why does a bag of Ore-Ida French fries or tater tots have instructions on how to oven bake either a half bag or three quarters of a bag, but not a full bag? Why are you eating a full bag, you fatty?
I guess they think there's no way this person will eat an entire bag of this.
I guess if you have the half bag, just double it. What if they tell you for the half, just do double?
Yeah, so. I think that'd be wise. Yeah. You would think. I mean, I don't know. You might overcook it.
The last one is from Rob. Is what kayfabe hill will you personally die upon? Mine is that Cena is not a 16-time champion because one of them wasn't real. I like that. That is accurate.
They gave him the belt, so CM Punk didn't leave the company.
They had a little tournament, and he beat Rey Mysterio, and then Punk came out immediately. It's like it should have just immediately been like, okay, wait, Punk's back. We don't need the second belt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you set up the rematch. But they both had the belt
because they were scared Punk was going to leave the company with the belt.
That was
right?
After he had already won the belt and said he was leaving, and then he came back like 2 weeks later.
Yeah,
and
he walked out into the stands with the belt. Yes, and left the building. I think
right. And so they're like, okay, we got to have a champion, so we have this little tournament here. But then when Punk comes back, it should be immediately like, wait a minute, we don't need the tournament anymore. We have a champion, but they didn't do that. That's a good one. Is there one that you're willing to die on? Is there another kayfabe hill?
Not one that comes to mind. I can't think of other examples.
There's so many, like, you have to enjoy the show. Like, I was thinking about, like, Austin Rock.
I mean, like, another kayfabe thing was, like, was similar to this, the Bret Hart
right.
and Shawn Michaels thing.
Right.
So but that hill I'm willing to die on is Vince was 100% correct in doing what he did.
Yeah, he had to protect his company.
Yeah, you can't because Bret gave him no assurances.
Yeah.
Bret said he wanted to win the match and then he was going to hand the belt over.
Yeah.
Vince didn't trust that. Right. He'd already seen someone take a belt to their company and throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
So he was 100% correct in that.
All right. I'm going to give you another one here if I can just – I had it in my head and I lost it. We're talking about this is one of those things like, it's not a hill to die on, but this is one of those things like, so when Austin Rock had their second match, part of the buildup of the match was Vince told Deborah she had to manage The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, you're now the manager of The Rock. And like
because that was Stone Cold's wife.
Like, it's just like, why can't she just go, No, I quit.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of those things where it's like, you're stretching. You're stretching for me. Again, I'm not saying that's my hill to die on or anything, but like,
no, I think she's just
like, it was dumb. And they
was doing business.
They immediately wrote it out. Like, it lasted like 2 weeks. And they're like, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. Let's just get back to Austin Rock.
Which is part of the business. I mean,
so, I want to show you, there's a video of Austin and Rock before, I think, it may have, yeah, it was before their third match, right? Where or something where they get in the ring and they start singing to each other.
Yeah.
You ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the whole video, you hear this guy in the crowd go, come on, we've already seen this. And I just want to go back in time and choke that guy. Be like, do you know what's coming after this? Like a decade of crap. This is the high point.
Be happy with
it.
It was a decade of crap, too.
It was. Another wrestling question from AC Griffin. Rumblings. Name the five hottest ladies current in wrestling, any promotion. Ring announcers and backstage interviewers included. As an aside, I flew seated by Mariah May a few weeks ago. Smoke show and even a nicer person. I don't know.
Do we need to do this?
No, but I will agree that Mariah May is a smoke show.
I'll say this. Most of them are in NXT right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's been watching NXT, but the percentage, I'm not being sexist or anything. Like, yeah. I'm a man. I'm attracted to women.
Yeah.
The percentage of very attractive women on NXT right now is extremely high.
Yeah. Okay.
Shawn Michaels knows what he's looking for.
We'll sort of that way.
And one of them's looking this way, yeah. And the other one's.
Winston asks, should college football look to separate their regular season stats and postseason stats, conference championship and bowl games like the NFL does? No. Like if you
I hate the way the NFL does that.
Yeah,
that counts to your that should count.
Yeah, you played in the game, that should count.
MLB does that too.
Yeah.
MLB has postseason stats.
I'm not a fan.
I don't like that. Maybe
it's a little different because in the NFL you might play three or four games in a postseason. This is the first year where anybody's playing more than two.
Yeah, but what you've done is part of the reason.
I agree.
You know, in college, you get a bowl game.
Sometimes at college football playoffs. How many home runs does Babe Ruth have? Because I don't know how many postseason home runs he hit.
He still wouldn't. He
wouldn't be over the Bonds. You don't think?
No.
Now you got me curious.
I still don't think
he would need. Bonds finished with 765.
Did they even recognize Barry Bonds as the leader? Last time I looked,
no,
he
no.
wasn't.
No, he's absolutely considered the leader.
Well, I mean, like MLB records, do they?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely asking.
The average fan doesn't.
Well, I was genuinely asking because one time I looked and he wasn't up. He wasn't on there, or like he had an asterisk or something like that.
No. He had 15 home runs in the postseason, so he would not be number one or number two. He'd still be third.
Aaron? Hank Aaron?
Aaron,
Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Aaron, I don't know how many times Aaron ever played in the postseason.
Yeah, the Braves were not great back then, I don't think.
Let me see the answer to that question.
And that was in Milwaukee,
wasn't
it?
He only hit six.
Was he in Milwaukee then?
The Milwaukee Braves. I don't know if the Atlanta Braves ever went to the playoffs while he was there. So he had six home runs. He only played 17 postseason games.
I always think it's an interesting conversation to be had of like, the era that these players played in, the pitching they faced, or you know the bats that they had, or the ball that they had, the type of athlete back then. It's a very interesting conversation that you just can't really compare.
Yeah.
From era to era.
So Bonds finished with 762. He hit 9 postseason home runs, so his total would actually be 771.
I remember for like 2 or 3 weeks. Just so every time he came up to bat, ESPN was going to that game.
Well, yeah, he hit 70 of the season. Yeah.
I watched every at bat.
Yeah,
like I made sure that I tuned in every time they were playing. I was on ESPN to see what he did, and I got the chance to watch
756. Yeah, when he got ahead of Aaron.
Yeah, that was like a moment in time.
Yeah,
I don't care what people. This steroid thing doesn't really matter to me. He still has to hit the baseball.
The pitchers were on steroids too, you know.
And like what we've talked about before, Barry Bonds was a world-class athlete before he even started to kind of juice up like that. I mean, this guy was going for a steals record or something. Like, he was an incredible baseball player.
Right.
So it wasn't like he just got on roids and all of a sudden he hit 750-plus home runs. He was a great baseball player before all that even happened.
Right.
So, like, with him...
I never let the steroid stuff bother me.
That everybody was doing it during that era.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Exactly. Brooks Taylor, he asked us about Raw. We already covered that. Why is men's college basketball the only basketball that plays halves and not quarters? Doesn't make sense to me. It seems counterintuitive if they are trying to play quarters professionally. I agree with this 100%.
I always thought that the reason they moved the women back to the four quarters was a trial run of like how the game flowed for men's basketball.
And it does well.
It's been like, so good.
They haven't changed it.
But. That's, you know...
Well, if there's anything we know about the NCAA, they don't like to change.
Yeah.
So that's
and listen, I think college basketball right now is in a very good spot. I love watching the game and how it's growing right now. But it's just so much more smooth having four quarters of basketball and the way that they do it. The halves just kind of linger on, and it feels like you have more commercial breaks because you have the four media timeouts. And then, you know, when you look at the quarter system, you basically have, you know, one media timeout per quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So the game just flows so much better.
Yeah.
Feels like it goes quicker.
I agree. Last one here. Oh, I'm sorry. Mangum Cafe. Rank the Mississippi neutral site basketball arenas. Landers is one.
Landers has really upped his game.
I haven't been to the Coast Coliseum.
No, I've never been.
So I can't rank it. I would rank. So I guess in that
Tupelo's vein, ahead of
Tupelo's ahead
Jackson.
Of Jackson. Jackson's is last, easily last. Yeah. What is your home heat set on this week? My heat and air stay the same at all times during the day. 68.
Me too.
Yeah.
Now my air does not go to 68, but like also my house, the way that we insulated our house is just a little different. I don't have to put it above or below 70.
Yeah.
It gets cold. It gets really cold.
Yeah.
When it's on 70. So at nighttime, it's on 70. During the day, it's on 72.
Mm-hmm.
And it still feels really good, even during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't move my heat. It stays on 68.
Mm-hmm.
So that's – the other day, my wife turned it up a couple of notches to 70 for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And woke up in the middle of the night, and she was like sweating, like wondering what was going on. Like, well, you tampered with the air.
Yeah,
you don't need to do that.
Yeah, that's not your.
That's what happens with pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly. Last one from the Mangum Cafe. Where does Jamie Foxx rank among talented people? He can really do it all. I mean, he could sing, play some instruments. He's an great actor. He's really funny.
He was really good in Ray.
Yeah,
Ray Charles.
The other thing about him is he can play athletes. Like, I don't know if you ever heard this, and I guess it's really funny now when you think about it, but for Any Given Sunday, originally they wanted Willie Beeman to be Puff Daddy.
Oh.
Which means that movie would not do well now.
Nobody would want to watch it now.
But they said when he came out there, like, he tried to throw the football, he said he looked so terrible. They were like, no, never mm-hmm. mind. And then they brought in Jamie Foxx, and he looks like an athlete. He's throwing the football. So.
He can do comedy, he can do drama. Great. Now, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
If he had any hand in keeping us out of Beat Shazam,
well, that's
he's dead to me.
Thing there. Yeah.
Brian and I don't even have we even told people about this. I signed Brian and myself up for Beat Shazam, the game show.
Yeah.
It is recorded in Ireland.
Yeah.
And one day my wife and I were watching the show and I was answering every single one. I won the game. I won $1 million at home. Didn't count. But I won the game, and she was like, you really need to sign up for, like, a music game show, because that's one thing that I feel like I'm good enough at, I could win. Like, there's not a whole lot of things that I feel like I'm very good at,
mm-hmm.
but that I am. I for whatever reason, I remember songs. So I signed up for this, and I had to film, like, a promo about why I need to be on the show.
Right.
And you have to pick a teammate. Mm-hmm. And so Brian and I have ridden to Omaha together.
Unbeknownst to me, he picked
me. Brian and I.
Hey, if we do this, we're going to have to go to Ireland for a month.
Brian and I have ridden to Omaha. We knew, like, we never skipped a song, I don't think, on the way. We knew every song that came on. So I knew Brian knew his music too. And my thinking was, if I don't know a song, Brian does, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So I do the promo. The guy calls me. I'm at a gas station eating lunch in Ackerman. And this New York number pops up, and I just hang up on it. I screen it. And the guy says, this is a producer from Beat Shazam. We loved your promo video. We want to see if you're good for our show. And so I call him back. I do a quick interview. He asks me some questions. And then he gets me and Brian on a Zoom call. And so we're standing in the studio, like standing up with like a camera or something on us.
Yeah.
And We played the game.
We had my phone. I used to have a tripod.
Yeah.
And we brought that in here. Yeah.
We played the game, and yeah. we got 9 out of 10 correct.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, wow, this was really good. We'll be getting in touch with you. And they never called back.
And in fairness, COVID does happen in between somewhere in there. So I think that played a role.
No.
Was it not?
No, this was like
2020.
No, this was like last year.
This is like, you're right, yeah, because you weren't on the show when I did COVID.
No,
yeah. I guess,
This was like last year.
No. Jamie Foxx got sick.
Was it?
Remember, he was almost dead. People were reporting that he died.
Was it during that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it might have been. It might have been that.
That's part of it. But
dang it.
Yeah.
If we didn't get it because Jamie Foxx, forget you, Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx, I can't say the line on the air. One of my favorite movies is The Kingdom. Have you ever seen that?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
Where he goes to Saudi Arabia. He's like a counter-terrorist guy. And I can't say his response, but somebody asks, he says, I need this done immediately. And this Arab guy's like, what do you mean immediately? And his response to that is one of my favorite lines in any movie ever.
What was the movie with Gerard Butler that he was in?
Oh, Law Abiding Citizen.
Law Abiding Citizen. I love that. Oh, my gosh.
That movie's so good.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. It really toyed with your emotions. Yeah, who did you pull for?
It did. Charlie Morgan, what do you guys think about a scheduling partnership with Hawaii in baseball, softball, where state begins each season at Hawaii and the teams can fly together? It would be better on RPI than playing nobody tech at home. I mean, it sounds great, but my guess is the state Mississippi State doesn't want to spend the money to fly both teams out to Hawaii for a week. I mean, that's an expensive trip.
They used to do that with the baseball team.
Baseball team used to do it, yeah. But like nowadays, I mean, talking about softball doesn't make any money.
Mm-mm.
Baseball makes some money some years. So it's a great idea in principle, but probably never going to happen.
I don't think they like playing those games at home early.
Yeah. All right, two more questions. Kenny Manning, you can do one of these for Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. Throw a game-winning touchdown pass in the Egg Bowl. Catch that game-winning pass in the Egg Bowl. Return an INT for the touchdown and the win in the Egg Bowl. Big guy fumble return for the Egg Bowl. Hit a walk-off home run. Hit a three-point buzzer beater for the win. Which one would you do? This is easy. Can you imagine if a rumbling, bumbling, stumbling fumble return won the Egg Bowl?
The fat guy touchdown.
Oh, my God. If I could do that, I could do that now.
I can promise you that has never happened.
To my knowledge, it's never happened. Where
it might be like a defensive lineman did, but not a fat guy touchdown.
I don't remember the last defensive lineman. Oh, Kevin Sluter.
Kevin Sluter.
But that, yeah.
96. 96.
Was there, yeah, 96. Yeah. That's the one.
The game was raining, wasn't it?
Oh,
raining.
Pouring.
It was real muddy.
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah, I remember that.
If Mike Keene is listening, you know what happened that day.
That was probably the last one,
yeah.
And the last defensive touchdown was a pick six from
Tony Bridges. That's the last defensive touchdown. No, Cedric Giles had one the next year.
That's right.
All right, so hold on.
That was 15 now with you Tony got me Bridges.
Thinking. 17, no. 18, no. 19, no. 20, no.
20. Almost had one in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost had one in 21. Jet Johnson almost scored.
That's true.
Which was incredible. 22, no. And then last two years, no. So, yeah, there you go. Last one, Josh Watson. My wife joined the Traders and accepted a job with Auburn. So, we've lost Josh now.
What is happening?
So, a few weeks ago, we packed up, left my beloved hometown of Starkville, and moved to the Plains. Q Creed, my sacrifice. What's the biggest sacrifice you've ever made for love?
I would
do anything for love.
But Hey Dad would not do
that. I would not do that.
He would not do that.
Do that. I don't really have a good one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. We've been married about 2 years, and Jennifer was at a job where she was working like 65, 70 hours a week, and it was just killing her.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a job in Memphis, and we moved there. And then within a year, I was working 65, 70 hours a week, but I did that for her.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my answer. All right. Now, it's not the end of the show. You're thinking, oh, the rumblings are over. No, no. We still got a little left to do. We need to go now to find out what happened in Nashville, Tennessee. Mississippi State, Vanderbilt. Big game for the Bulldogs. Let's go to our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning. Let's go now to Future Brian. Thanks, guys. This is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. Mississippi State gets the win on a night where the road teams had some issues, where Kentucky falls at Georgia, where Tennessee is embarrassed at Florida. Mississippi State goes to Vanderbilt, gets control of the game early in the first half, and wins by double digits, 76-64. I think if I could go back and tell those guys that Josh Hubbard, only 9 points in this game on 3 of 9 shooting, Riley Kugel, 0 points in this game, there might have been some concern, but as has been the case all year for Mississippi State, the scores just show up. RJ Melendez, 19 points, 7 rebounds for him. A great game for him. Cam Matthews got them going in the first half. 16 points for him. 13 points for Claudell Harris, including a huge three when Vanderbilt had cut the lead to 5. Coming out of a timeout, he gets a three-pointer to push it back to 8. And from there, State was able to just kind of regroup, regain control of the game, and take it from there. 76-64 is the final score. State led by as many as 22 in this game. Really looked good at times. But in the end, it's another double-digit victory. 16 of 19 from the free throw line is really the stat that stands out for me. Cam Matthews is going 4 for 4 from the line, you know you're doing okay. Nwoko with 8 points. He had a much better game than he had on Saturday. 8 points, 5 rebounds. Got into foul trouble again, though. But then Keyshawn Murphy steps in. He had 4 points, 6 rebounds. And he had a couple of key defensive plays late in this game. Sean Jones Jr. deserves some mentions too. 7 points for him, 4 for 4 from the free throw line, and he hit a big three-pointer in this one. Just a good, complete game. State shoots 47% for the game, holds Vandy to 35%, holds them to 19.2% from behind the arc. The announcers kept pumping the stat that Vanderbilt had made an average of 10 three-pointers a game at home in their arena. Only 5 tonight, 5 of 26. That's a big reason why Mississippi State is able to get the win. And as I mentioned, you know, not a great night for the road teams in the Southeastern Conference. Georgia beats Kentucky by double digits. Florida beats Tennessee by 30 points in Gainesville tonight. That's the number one team in the nation. What a bloodbath this conference is. The other game of the night, Auburn at Texas. Close one. Auburn gets the win, 87-82 in that one. State now 4-0 in quad one games. When you look at this game, we talked about this on Sports Talk Mississippi. When you look at the net rankings, for example, now that may not hold for a while. Pitt was 15th in the net coming into today. They got manhandled tonight. So they may drop out because that needs to stay in the top 25, but we'll just have to see. But Vandy came into this game 32nd in net. For it not to be a quad one win, they're going to have to fall 44 spots. That just seems unlikely. So this is a game that should stay on the quad one side of the ledger for the Bulldogs throughout. They're now 4-0 in quad one, 6-1 overall, quad one, quad two. Really good resume for the Bulldogs. And, of course, another quad one opportunity coming up this weekend when they play the Kentucky Wildcats. I won't lie to you and tell you that, you know, part of me is like, I wish Kentucky had won. It's just tough to picture Kentucky going 0-2 on the week. But the way this team is playing, if they play at their best, they're very, very tough. And I can't tell you, a couple of people reached out to me tonight, texted me, you know, people who don't cover Mississippi State, and they're like, this team is good. They may have thrown an adjective in there. I won't repeat that adjective, but they said this team is good. And I can't disagree with them. Like I said, what makes states so dangerous to me is the scoring depth. It's just that you just don't know who's going to show up each night, and they have the ability to shake off bad nights from a couple of their scores. Again, Kugel and Hubbard combining for 9 points, all of it by Hubbard. Hubbard, 3 of 9 from the field, 1 of 5 from deep, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. So two of State's 3 misses on the free throw line were from Hubbard, of all people. So that snaps his double-digit streak that he had going. Had not been under double digits in one game this year. Now he has. And yet Melendez just Melendez was really, really good tonight. Cam Matthews, just a great leader. Fantastic all-around game. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal. Did have 3 turnovers, 4 fouls, but especially early in the game, he was able to get to the basket with some impunity there. Claudel Harris, again, 13 points and 7 rebounds. The shooting is great for Claudel so far in SEC play, but the rebounding, he has 16 rebounds in 2 SEC games. I mean, just absolutely, State's length in the backcourt is just a huge weapon for them. Between Harris, Melendez, Kugel didn't have a great rebounding night tonight, but you know he's capable of it. Sean Jones is a guy who can get rebounds. And then, of course, you've got your big men, Matthews, Murphy, and Nwoko. Those three guys, combined for 16 rebounds. And State was out-rebounded in this game, but they just have the ability to get those boards. State dominated the paint, 42 points in the paint. Led for 33 minutes out of the game. Like I said, Vandy had their last lead at 12-11. State scored to make it 13-12, and they never gave the lead back. To win is impressive. To win on the road is impressive. To win on the road on a night where around you the other ranked teams are falling. Now, of course, Florida also ranked, but this was a really, really, really good win for Mississippi State. Like I said, it's a quad one, but you felt like you had some momentum. You know, going into this weekend, you're going to have a big, excited crowd for this Kentucky game. You didn't want to give anything away. And to lead by as many as 22, Vandy gets back into the game and cuts it to 5. And you just, from the end of the, from that point on, just take care of your business. You push the lead back out into double digits, and you get what was a relatively easy win. There were a couple of moments of trepidation there when Vandy was making their run. But, I mean, when you have a 22-point lead, you can absorb a couple of body blows like that. Really impressive win for State, and they continue on 14-1, 2-0 in the SEC. Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, and then you got to put Mississippi State probably right there. And I don't know that on the right night Mississippi State can't beat any of those teams. Now they're unlucky in that they get Auburn and Tennessee on the road. They do also have to go to Alabama. They get Florida at home, Kentucky at home. If they can find a way in those games to, if they can win, split with Alabama, and then split with Tennessee and Auburn, just get one each, you're going to be in the mix to win this conference. And winning this conference is going to put you in the mix for a 1 or a 2 seed. They just have to keep playing at this level, and I think they're totally capable of doing that. So, again, final score from Nashville, 76-64 Bulldogs. Tomorrow's pod with Robbie, he'll be back. We'll recap this a little bit more in depth. He was at the game in Nashville. Want to give a quick shout-out to him, by the way, if you didn't see it on social media. Robbie Faulk named the Mississippi Sports Writer of the Year. What an honor for my good friend Robbie Faulk, our beloved other half of this podcast. Also, great job, Neil Price, named the Mississippi Broadcaster of the Year. So you can wrap those awards in maroon and white. That's awesome to see. Neil, very, very deserving. I saw a great tweet about it. It said anybody who shows up to call those games that State played this year in football deserves that respect. But Robbie, Sports Writer of the Year, one of the best young sports writers in the Southeastern Conference. Very proud of him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him tomorrow when he gets back from Nashville. All right, guys. Have a great, what day is it? It's Tuesday, so you have a great Wednesday, and we'll talk to you again on Thursday. For Robbie Faulk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.